morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, and then chapter 7, verses 6, 12, and 21. Do we have 6 through 14? Oh, I'm sorry. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its width, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and put the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I am going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. The rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, domestic animals, wild animals, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all human beings. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Coping, I hope you don't mind. So I'm improving, getting better and better every day. Sometimes it's better, but sometimes, oh, I'm still there. But anyway, unless I sing, I don't feel it that much. But anyway, so from last week, we have been talking about Noah and the flood. And last week, we talked about how God was grieved. You know what? It's interesting. You find this story, flood story, in every civilization, they have it. So it is the fact, a huge, not just some part of the, regional part, but across the nations, they knew it. They have it. But what's interesting is some other religion or some other civilization in their history, what they claim was, what caused the flood was, many gods. They had many gods, and they were so irritating. They didn't like it. Because human beings, we were too noisy. We were whining and fighting and made a lot of noise. So their god thought, oh, it's too annoying. I don't like them. So let's swipe them all, kill them all. I don't like that. But in the Bible, we have a different story. The biblical story is very different from them. In our story, God looked at them, and so human beings were perpetually evil, violent toward one another. Not just a human being, another human being, but also God's creation, what God had made. So God was grieved because of the violence. And it was not the wrath of God to kill them all, but God wanted to fix it. God wanted to bring a new beginning. God wanted to bring the second chance. Yet, God was looking to see whether there was even one human being who were righteous, and God sees the man Noah. And the scripture says he was blameless. Last week we talked about that. Blameless doesn't mean to be perfect. It has nothing to do with perfection. It means integrity. The person you are Sunday morning right now in the sanctuary, and the person during the week at work and in your relationship with the other people, the same. Integrity. Blameless. That's the meaning we find. And Noah was blameless. And he walked with God. And because of Noah, God says, you know what? I'm going to give the human race a second chance. And God called Noah to build an ark. From that ark, God was going to save Noah, his family, and all other creatures. So God was going to give a second chance to all creation. That is our story today. And you know, there are a few, not just one or two, a few Noah's Ark in the world. Even Wisconsin Dell, they have one. And Kentucky, I just heard from, Rory, from his Kentucky house, it takes only 10 minutes to drive to there, a Noah's Ark, that one, a huge one. Noah's Ark, replica of Noah's Ark in Kentucky. It's really huge, 510 feet long and 85 feet wide and 51 feet tall, high. If you go inside, there are life-size replicas of some animals, and there is a theater, and of course, there is a gift shop. You can buy something, and you can get something to eat. So this kind of gives people a sense of what the ark looked like. Now, I want you to think about Noah, about God, and how God works in our lives. Noah heard God want him to build an ark, that huge one. So Noah lived far from the ocean. So it was like Noah built an ark, that size, really big one, in the middle of nowhere, or in the middle of a cornfield. You see all around the town. Huh. Does any of you need a cruise ship-sized boat or ship? You know, I love kayaking, but at some point I feel like, kayak is not enough. I want to have a ship. I want to have a that size ship in my parsonage yard. What would you like to say? Maybe you may want to call DS or Bishop. Hey, Bishop, I think our pastor has some mental issue. You better fix him, right? It's nonsense. And Noah heard the call from God to build that cruise ship-sized ark. And let's think about that. If you start to build, building that size ship in your yard, what would your neighbor talk about you? It's bigger than a football playground. People would have thought Noah was out of his mind, and they would introduce him to a psychiatrist, mental health. And it is not a small task. Literally, he had to spend a huge amount of money to buy wood for this project. How much do you think it would cost? He must have spent most of his saving, his pension and 401k, everything he had. And how many years would it have taken to build them all? Cut down trees, move them all to his yard, made all the pieces of wood. In our story, God simply says, go and make one. That's it. But it was not a one day or one week or one month project. He probably spent years after years, and this became his full-time vocation to build an ark. Then why? Why is he doing that? Because he felt God says to him, and there would be a flood coming, and God wanted him to build an ark to save the earth. because God asked him to do that. How do you think God spoke to him? How? It's really important because we may find a lesson from this story. How did God speak to Noah? Usually we imagine just like Moses, God spoke with a booming voice, like a thunderstorm or a burning bush. Noah might hear that way. Or something else, somewhere else. Usually, when I feel God is speaking to me, I don't know. I want to hear that booming sound clearly, so then, oh yes, it is what I'm supposed to do. But that's not happening often. Then how does God speak to you? For me, the way God speaks to me is I sense a nudging, and I feel something in my heart that I'm supposed to do something for God and the church and the community and some other people. And once I have that in my mind, I pray and meditate and test whether it's from God, even when I think it is right and a good work. Pray whether it is from God or from my desire. And I try to pay attention. And the first thing that I want us to think about is, are we listening? I believe God speaks to you all the time, every day. The thing is, we are usually not listening. We are so busy. We have so many kinds of noises. You know what? Sometimes I feel like I know I should open the Bible when I wake up in the morning. But sometimes what I do is, oh, okay, even before I open my eyes, Alexa, what's news today? What's the weather today? So many noise. Television, radio. And we look at our cell phone and computer. And we have so many things to deal with. We have a hard time listening to God. And the key thing in our life is, if we are going to be like Noah, we have to pay attention. So are we listening? That question is, are we paying attention? And I want you to notice what happens in this story. Noah doesn't make 1,000 excuses about why he cannot build an ark. Can you imagine all the great excuses he could have made? I think I can make 1,000 of excuses for why I cannot make my ark in my yard. Maybe I can say, God, you know what? If I build an ark in my yard, I don't think my trustees would be happy with that. We have a few trustees in this room now. Oh, maybe they are the one who make a call, DS or a bishop. How about that? We can make a great excuse, but this is what we find in our story. Noah. He simply did it. Genesis chapter 6, after God gave Noah a command to build an ark, it says, we read, Noah did it. He did all that God commanded him. That's it. You see? That's it. Noah listens, pays attention to God, and Noah just did it. Noah is an archetype for what we are meant to be. We are meant to pay attention and do God's commandment. And we listen and we say yes. And part of the challenges for us is we hear, but maybe it's my story. We make excuses because we are not sure it is from God or not. and we don't make a step and don't do it. Sometimes it becomes our pattern. We believe in God. That doesn't mean you don't believe in God. But we believe in God, but we don't do what God asks us to do. But James says, even the demon, evil, believes in God, and they shudder when they think of God. It's not simply about believing in God. There is something more than just hearing. It is my concern for you and myself when we walk outside the door of this sanctuary. Are we listening? And are we doing? We may not always do it, but at least are we paying attention? I think that's a part of what the Noah story teaches us. It is not just believing, but faith in action. In that action, we find our faith is growing. Noah didn't make an excuse. We don't make an excuse. For example, Jesus told us to love all the people. It didn't matter to Jesus who we are when he told us to love. Whether the people around us have the same look or not, or same background or not, whether they have the same understanding of some sensitive, especially political issues. We have so many. Whether we are on the same party or not, whether we have the same understanding or not, Jesus didn't matter. Jesus simply said, love. And we listen. Noah did it, and we do. And I have another one to speak more about. When the early church looked at the ark, they saw it as an instrument of God's salvation for human beings and all the creatures. When they looked at that, all of the human beings on the ark were saved. And they gave birth to the rest of the human race. When they look at the story, that's an archetype of the church. So why don't you look at the ceiling? Why don't you look at the ceiling? So many churches have the same ceiling. You see, doesn't it look like a ship upside down? Upside down. Some other support and the way it looks. The church itself is an ark. Church itself is an instrument of God's salvation. And those who get on the ark find salvation in Jesus Christ, and they save, and they spare eternal death, and they were given eternal life, and they find the safety from the storm and help in the middle of the hardship. And that's the picture they believed about the church. So when you walk in the sanctuary, you come in the ark of salvation. And that's a powerful image. We come here every week and we find the salvation, and we find the help and protection, strength and wisdom from God. And again, there is more than simply listening. We go back to the Word and remake the Word just like Noah and his family. That is what we do when we gather in the church. Then let me ask you, what's inside the ark? What did Noah have? Noah, of course, his family, and all the clean and unclean animals, predators and prey, the wild and the tamed, the beautiful ones and ugly ones. Do you think it was pleasant staying inside the ark with all kinds of animals? I don't think I would love that. all the smell, right? All the smell. Donkey, horses, lion, elephant, and so many. What about snake just sneaking by you and touch your feet? Do you want to do that? Do you want to stay inside the ark? And you may imagine cat trying to eat mice and so many other things happening. And you have to feed them all 3 times a day. That was what's happening inside the ark. But in the end, it was the only ship out there that could have saved all the creatures. When I think of the church, it is not a perfect place. Come on, no. I believe you agree with me. All of us sitting here and all the people in churches everywhere, we are sinners. That's the beginning point. We make mistake and we need help and we find help from God and we believe in Jesus. That's a simple line. And we all do bad stuff, sometimes intentionally or unintentionally. Even when I think I'm doing right thing, I'm so good, I'm right. But we know when I do the right thing, I could harm and hurt other people's feeling, right? Sometimes your preacher does the wrong thing. You have seen that a lot. Sometimes I'm going to say things, you may say, you know what, Pastor, I don't think you're right. I don't agree with you. You know, it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes you may say, I like you, but you got the wrong point. Sometimes I forget to respond to your email or text. You may be upset. Just by the way, if that happens, please gently remind me. I will get back to you right away. You know, that happens in every single church, anywhere. Anyway, there is no perfect church, but it is the ark of salvation. We have come together and we have grace for each other because we are the church. That is what we are called to be. And you know, we are not a perfect church, but I love it. We are not perfect, but I love you. We are not perfect, but I know God loves you and me. And I'm so glad we get together on this faith journey together. And I'm so glad we are here instead of the storm that happens in our lives alone, without a lifeboat, without a life jacket, or anybody who would be your helper. And I believe God is talking to you and me about who we are and what our church should be. So believe in God. Listen to God and do what God wants us to do. And we may be an instrument of God's salvation together. Amen.